Okay, very good. Well, good morning, everyone. It is 10 o'clock on August 17th, and we are gathered in the commission hearing room for a work session on internet and hybrid auctions. I have my colleagues here in the room, and we have Conrad Crockford, who is participating remotely from his basement office, it looks like.
Yes, I am.
And so I don't have any opening comments. Brian, do you have any opening comments?
I do not.
All right, then I'm going to pass it over to the esteemed portfolio holder, Commissioner Crispin.
Well, before I pass it along to the esteemed director, I will say that, you know, this has been kind of an evolving situation. And at one time, auction was an auction, and you needed a license, and you know, only licensed auctioneers conducted auctions, and it was pretty simple. And then, I don't know, I suppose a couple decades ago, all of a sudden, there was eBay and maybe others, but that was, I think, the most prominent one. And we obviously can't regulate them, and you know, it just would not have worked out because they wouldn't have listened to us anyway. And so it was determined that in these, you know, purely internet auctions.
Shelly's pretty tough. I think she's up for manhandling eBay.
She's pretty tough, but she's too valuable to be here. We can't send her all over the world trying to track these guys down to jam them up to pay their penalties. So we were able to operate, I think, effectively and well for a long time now, and it was pretty clear if it was completely an internet auction, it wasn't under our jurisdiction, and everything else was. And now more and more of it is evolving into really what I find under the current definitions to be internet only. And Conrad will explain it in better detail. I agree with his interpretation of the law, but if and as he's explaining it, and this is why I'm bringing it out in advance in a poorly worded explanation rather than his, it'll be much better. But under this interpretation that, like I say, I agree with, I think we have a decision then in the next year and a half before the legislature comes into town again. I think there's so little left that we are regulating under this interpretation that it's almost unfair to the people who follow our rules and are regulated by it. It almost seems unfair to them, and probably a little bit misleading to a lot of the customers. And so I think we need to decide whether we're either going to get these lines redrawn somehow or just end the program. So with that, I will let Conrad explain the interpretation of the existing law.
All right. Thank you very much, Commissioner. And you teed me up, so I hope I don't disappoint here. So so staff provided a background memo on July 29th to the commission in preparation for scheduling this. And so, which goes through four different auction scenarios that we've been encountering here lately. One of which is very new and is a result of the pandemic. Things have just really started going this direction. And can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Audio is pretty good? Okay, perfect. And so I'll just briefly review those, and then I'm going to go into some detail an explanation of how this kind of all came about here. And so you can understand big picture, because that's going to be necessary to see how the commission works in with this and how our interpretation works into what's going on out there. So under the first item, we've got the on page 2 of that memo, if you're following along, auction held via the internet where bids are inputted and accepted online at any time during a preset bidding period that may span multiple dates, may span time period. This, in accordance with the, you know, with the law, is a internet auction, and so that's and that is not regulated by us. And that base is based off of the definition of internet auction means the selling or offering for sale of either real or personal property at public auction exclusively via the internet. And then the exemption goes on to say in subpart five of that section, a person conducting or employed by a person conducting an internet auction is not an auctioneer or clerk within the meaning of this chapter. And that's going to be a very important theme as we go through. The second type of auction we've encountered, and this is very new since COVID, this is the new one that we're seeing, is that an auction that's held with a live auctioneer conducting the sale as items are auctioned off one at a time and streamed over the internet. Bids may only be placed through an online system. So this is where you actually have an auction happening. The auctioneer is showing the items. They've got staff there that are bringing the items up, much like you'd see in a public auction if you were to attend in person. However, no person from the public is allowed to attend in person. You have to register through an online system, and then you have to only place your bid through that online system. You cannot come and place bids in person. And so that is the new style of auction. And staff spoke with our legal counsel about that. And a strict interpretation of that would be viewed as an internet auction because it's taking place exclusively via the internet. The only way bidders can interact is via the internet. There is no public component to that per se, even though the auctioneer is still holding it live. And they're actually still chanting and calling the sale as well. Then the third type of auction is where you have a live auction, you have an in-person component, people can place bids in person. However, in order to expand their audience base, auctioneers have allowed, have hosted this online as well. And so it's live streaming, you have to watch the auction in person, and then they will take bids from the public that's attending in person and also via the internet as well. And so that is what we would refer to as a hybrid auction that would be regulated by us since there is a in-person component to that and does not fit strictly into the internet auction definition. And then the fourth kind is the traditional style of auction where you've got people that attend in person, they place their bids, there's no online component, and then it all takes place real time. And so those are the four types of auctions that we have seen. Are there any questions at this point from the commissioners? Okay. So getting into the scenario of what really brought about a lot of this, and bear with me, and if there's anything that seems confusing along the way, please let me know. At the end of July, staff received a call from the Department of Transportation Dealer Services from one of their investigators, letting us know that they had received a complaint regarding the sale of vehicles through an online auction system. And this is online only. The portion of that, at that point, it's non-jurisdictional. Staff has gone with the commission's interpretation. This is an internet auction. It's non-jurisdictional to the commission. And so we have not traditionally gotten involved in these. But where this differed is that it's being done by an auctioneer that is actually licensed through us. And so the question that the investigator had for staff was, is this auctioneer acting in the capacity of an auctioneer when they're hosting an online internet sale? And so staff spoke with legal about this and had come to the conclusion through our review of it that, and that's based upon that exemption, that even if it's an auctioneer that's auctioning off an item online and they're just posting it online, this is not a licensed auctioneer or acting as an auctioneer in what we would determine their official capacity. And that's based off the definition and that exemption that says a person conducting or employed by a person conducting an internet auction is not an auctioneer or clerk within the meaning of this chapter. And this chapter is referring to the licensing chapter. The reason this is important is because there is an exemption within the DOT licensing law that allows auctioneers to sell vehicles at public auction without acquiring a broker or a motor vehicle dealer license. And so that is how they're able to do estate auctions. That is how they're able to work with those and sell those vehicles. And I'll read you the word for word language for that is a bona fide auctioneer conducting an auction involving motor vehicles not owned by the auctioneer. And this is important. And I don't know a whole lot about the dealership laws. I know Randy probably knows a lot more than I do based on his past history in the dealership world. But that's a very important exemption for auctioneers. There's some work that they have to do if they're going to be able to sell vehicles. And that is exactly what this gentleman was doing, is he was auctioning off vehicles online, just through an online website, not live in any way. And he was he does not have a dealer license.
So, and so, question.
Yes, go ahead.
Is that exemption provided to them because they're licensed by us? Is that why the DOT, so they don't have to kind of double license?
It's provided for the auctioneers. They use our licensing process to see who's licensed and who's not. It's provided by the DOT because for an estate auction, there may only be one or two vehicles. And without that exemption, an auctioneer would have to have a dealer license or a broker license to sell those vehicles through an estate. They wouldn't be able to do that. It's different, like if you were to go out and sell your own vehicle to somebody. Mm-hmm. This is now selling the vehicle of somebody else that you're contracted to sell. And that's where that broker license, and I'm not spun up a lot on the DOT laws, but that's how they're viewing that. Does that help?
Sure. So in this instance, are they just, it's not really part of an estate auction. They're using our license to do kind of this other whole line of business.
Correct. And from what I understand in this particular scenario, the auctioneer was basically taking an entire estate auction he would do and posting it. I see I've frozen. Can you still hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to disable my camera so we don't lose the audio on that. The auctioneer was basically posting an entire estate sale and also selling multiple vehicles online for different clients and using this exemption because he's a licensed auctioneer to not acquire a broker or dealer license. Now that's really falls under the DOT as far as where they want to do their enforcement action at, since that's not our part. But I wanted to bring that into the fold because it really focuses on how the commission in the past and how we go forward with interpreting is a someone that's conducting an internet only auction, are they licensed and are they, you know, are do we view them acting as a licensed auctioneer? Because then that's going to affect how DOT views their section of it. And based upon that discussion that they're not viewed as an auctioneer clerk within the meaning of this chapter, staff and legal have come to the, you know, conclusion at this point that they're not viewed as being an auctioneer in that capacity.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And I just want to interrupt here because this is the classic example of why I say, I agree with this interpretation. I think if we're going to keep licensing auctioneers, this needs to be addressed in a year and a half. And I don't know if the DOT thing's on as far as that. You don't need a dealer license if you're a licensed auctioneer, if that's a law or some kind of administrative rule. But in this case, we have a licensed auctioneer that is able to do basically act as an auto dealer because he's taken, it's not just an estate sale, it's various people who want to sell, kind of consigns them like a dealer could. But he doesn't need a dealer license because he's an auctioneer. But then he holds his auctions in a way that they're unregulated by us either. And so it doesn't really make sense that your auctioneer license allows you to avert having a car dealer license, but then everything you do under your auctioneer license, you do in a way that is non-jurisdictional. So.
Right.
That can't stand long term.
And I think it's a double-edged sword as well when we look at this. And to Commissioner Crispin's point, you know, how we view someone that's acting in their official capacity based upon that. And to answer your question, Commissioner Crispin, it is within the law under DOT law where that exemption is at. And so when I spoke to the investigator, I really left it up to them to determine it's really up to you how you want to interpret that section of law. If they carry a license through us, then, you know, that's how DOT could interpret that as well. So there's two sides of that. The other side of it is that someone that's conducting an internet auction does not need an auctioneer's license to be able to do that internet auction. However, you know, if we change, you know, if we look at our interpretation of it and maybe go the other way, that's saying, well, even though they're not conducting a public auction that would be regulated by us, they're still licensed through us and therefore they're an auctioneer, then now we're giving an exemption to somebody that's doing an internet only auction that another group or entity is not entitled to, because they're not licensed through us to be that, even though we don't regulate the internet auction, if that makes sense. So it's a twofold, it's a double-edged sword, depending on which way we go with that and view that.
But the thing that allows them to not have the auto dealer's license is that they're a bona fide auctioneer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we make them a bona fide auctioneer, and then they conduct auctions that are non-jurisdictional to us.
Right. But it also says they have to be conducting an auction. So that's why we have to determine what is considered an auction.
Yeah,
I did give you a copy of the law, too, if you wanted to take a look at that.
Which one are you referring to right now, Shelley?
It's the single page 39-22-26.
Okay,
and
so this is
the DOT
stuff.
Item 4.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how it's – so it does say they have to be conducting, not just have a license, but conducting an auction.
Oh. So the law is already taking care of this. DOT just needs to –
well, except they're conducting a non-jurisdictional auction. They're conducting an internet auction.
It's not a bona fide auction. It's not an auction.
That's what the
That's where staff has determined that what they're when they're conducting an internet auction exclusively online, then they're not conducting an auction that would be jurisdictional to us. And so, therefore, based on that exemption, they're not an auctioneer or clerk within the meaning of our chapter.
Yeah.
And they don't fall under us at all.
So DOT just needs to understand the difference between an auction and an internet auction under the law.
Correct. And I've spoken at length with DOT and also with State Fleet, because then this brought into the question of State Fleet. They conduct their vehicle auctions about 4 times a year quarterly. They contract with one of our licensed auctioneers. They traditionally have held them in person. Now they've gone to this, online, but the auction is still conducted live. They bring the vehicles through. You can only bid on the item as it's up on the auction block. And so that's the question that State Fleet had for us, is would that be an internet auction or not? And that's kind of where that item comes in, that where if an auctioneer is conducting a sale live, but it's only being held exclusively via the internet, and you can only interact via the internet, does that meet the definition of an internet auction? And staff and legal agree it does. And therefore, that type of auction would not fall under our jurisdiction either. And that we're understanding more and more auctioneers have gone to that type of platform due to COVID and not having people gather. Plus, they've said they can reach a wider audience as well through the internet.
They could just have an in-person option and still be jurisdictional, though, which would be the way.
Correct.
Until this can be further clarified by the legislature, that if they want to still use these auctioneers that are licensed by us, they should just keep offering an in-person bidding option, it seems like.
That's exactly how staff would view it as well, is that you still, the issue then comes in, like, what skill or what does the auctioneer, what are we regulating for the auctioneer when there's only an internet option and they just have a camera on them and they're seeing the bids come up on the screen? You know, part of being an auctioneer is being able to read the crowd, understand where your bids are coming from, be able to take those bids. That's part of the process of what they're doing, that we want them to be skilled in that aspect, because some of that stuff has to happen rather quickly and on the fly. And I think, Jack, I think you had some other questions or other thoughts on the regulating. What are we regulating when an auctioneer is actually conducting the sale? Because in that case, they're actually forming a legal contract when they sell an item.
I do have a question. I think it might be along those lines. On page two of the memo that you sent out, Conrad?
Yes, go ahead, Commissioner.
Item number two, auction held with a live auctioneer conducting the sale, so trafficking the bids, determining who's got the bid, determining when to drop the virtual gavel, or maybe it's a real gavel at the time. But based on what I'm hearing, though, we're saying, but because of the manner in which the bidders are placing that bid, it's not an auction. That seems really odd to me, because the only thing that changed is that, because auctioneers take bids all the time over the telephone, a live auction, and I've been there, and they're up there, and you know the clerk is, someone's manning that phone, however many calls are coming in, they're pointing to that auctioneer, yes, another bid was placed. The auctioneer recognizes it, and it raises the... So what's... Number two is really fuzzy to me. I think the others, I agree. And another question would be Chapter 51. When was the last time that was modified? Because it doesn't seem to have kept pace with how things have evolved over, not just through the period of COVID, but I've been buying stuff on online auctions for the last 6-7 years, if not longer, maybe 10 years.
I couldn't tell you the last time it was modified recently. I mean, but not to the substance and the subject matter that we're discussing today. The one thing I would like to point out with regarding your question on number two there is it really creates a dubious circumstance if we're going to view this as something we're going to regulate, because there's no locational value to this. So hypothetically, someone in Florida could be holding an online auction, or someone here could be holding an auction in Florida. I mean, it's just so widespread. It leads to multiple jurisdictional issues, even beyond our state, but on a federal level. And that's interstate commerce that we're starting to get involved with at that point. And so really the value of having that auctioneer here, local, physically here, and running it here is really what we're looking at regulating under the current framework.
So is it with a live auctioneer located within the borders of North Dakota?
You mean, and then doing it remotely online?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know the parameters of what their auction would be. It would change for every single auction. And so now we're really creating not even a gray area, but a completely an undefinable area to even try to regulate. I mean, there's no way you're gonna have an option for every sort of auction that's going to be used out there online. Every structure's changed. Not everything's eBay. Not everything's this way. There are minute differences in every single online auction, at least that we've been finding already, Conrad. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Each one is set up. The time period is set up differently. And I can understand, Commissioner Crosses, where you're coming from with it, as far as, you know, if we have an auctioneer who's taking bids, they're conducting an online sale. It's being live streamed. The video's on them. They're calling each item. Each item individually is coming up on the auction block. And where we came into the interpretation of that is, you know, internet auction means the selling or offering for sale either real or personal property at public auction exclusively via the internet. This fits into that definition of exclusively via the internet.
Right.
There's okay. No public component to it. It's only online. It's only accessible to people that register with the website. It's not accessible to people that have no means to be able to attend the auction, or no computer access, or limited computer ability. And so that's where staff viewed that this, you know, this is just our interpretation, and that's part of what we wanted the work session for, is to understand.
So if, going back to the scenario, if I placed a bid over the telephone, I called into an auction, it was a live auction, people were physically present, I placed a bid, and something went amok, and I'm out 10 grand. Is our answer then, well, because you placed it over the telephone and you weren't there physically?
No, the alternative, that would be option three.
That would be a regulated auction in that case.
Yeah. Well, I'm not to get answers from everyone. I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Sure.
because I think it's important to try and punch holes in this. But I would make a side note, and that is on our website, when you read the jurisdiction of auctions, we should probably just put something in between now and then that internet auctions are not jurisdictional to the commission, because it's really confusing for a consumer who has a complaint. They go to our site, in their mind, that's an auction. They don't differentiate, well, an internet auction isn't an auction, but a physical auction is. An auction's an auction to them. They don't know.
Sure,
so I think it would, you know, something tactful, but just, you know, our jurisdiction that does not extend to internet auctions, whatever. I think it'd be valuable. Otherwise, people might get a little frustrated between now and whenever we change it, if we do.
And I think it is actually fairly simple if we explain it well. But while I think that the law doesn't really make much sense, I think it is simple. It is what it is. If someone can go there and bid in person, it's an auction. If they lock the door and you have to bid over the internet, everyone has to bid over the internet. Not even one person can go bid in person. Then it's an internet auction and it's non-jurisdictional. It's still an auction, I think, but it's not a jurisdictional auction.
I agree with you, Randy. When I read this memo yesterday, I was like, what? This makes no sense. Like, this is just dumb. But then it kind of is. Like, it is just an evolving area that the law hasn't kept up with, probably can't keep up with.
Probably not.
And so I think really there's two questions today. One, do we agree with how you guys have your determination of what's happening and what is and isn't jurisdictional? That's one issue. And then the second issue is, what do we want to propose moving forward, if anything? So, you know, in terms of changes to make it more sensible, if it's possible. I agree with you, Randy. It might be time to just say it's changed so much that it's not fair to regulate the people who are still doing in-person things, because they could easily just switch and not do in-person things anymore. And so what's the point? But that maybe is for a different discussion.
I
agree with your interpretation. Just to finish my thoughts, I agree with how you guys have read the law and interpreted what is and isn't jurisdictional.
And I'm hoping we can delay a decision on what we want to do about this, because we can't do anything unless they open up this special session to other things, then I guess we could move more quickly. But as we contemplate that, you know, one of the negatives in this is going to be that if we cease licensing them, then all these what we consider the legitimate or traditional licensed auctioneers, if the DOT language, depending on what they do about it, they really all have to go become car dealers now, even in just a plain traditional estate sale where there's one old car to auction off. The reason they're able to sell someone else's car is because they're an auctioneer. And so there's going to be a lot of our traditional auctioneers that...
DOT could create an exemption.
That would will probably need to be part of that. Or
yeah.
We kind of leave them hanging too, if we just...
Right.
And so there's a lot of thought to be put into the...
I think that'd be a very simple fix in their statute, though. I mean, just off the top of my head, it seems like it'd be simple drafting to definition, adding in their title. That's my assumption.
Just needs to be addressed.
Sure, absolutely.
And the other thing that I, just moments before the meeting, asked Jack to contemplate is... So moving forward, if we agree that this interpretation is correct, and if no one can go bid in person, it's an internet auction and it's non-jurisdictional, should we then be telling our licensed auctioneers, but okay, if that's how you're going to conduct your auctions, then you can't be promoting yourself as being a licensed auctioneer and being bonded and such, because you're misleading these people into believing that they have the coverage that they have when they when they participate in a traditional auction.
Sure. And I guess I have my thoughts on that, but I'm going to let Conrad take a stab at that one first.
Sure. I know Commissioner Christman, you and I spoke briefly about this. I think that in that capacity, we would need to let them know, because if somebody were to come to us with a complaint and they said, well, it was only online, I had to bid online, the auctioneer, I could see him, it was live, but I still had to bid online only, and there's, you know, no public component to it once staff reviewed it, then under our interpretation of it, that bond would not come into play, because they weren't acting as an auctioneer under the chapter that requires the bonding. And so if we were, you know, if auctioneers were advertising themselves as having a license and a bond when they were conducting something that was non-jurisdictional for us, I think that would be potentially misleading to the consumer, to their contractee, and to any bidder out there as well, that there's protections afforded that they're actually not protected against.
And just to add another example to that, the auctioneer that's doing the online auto sales, if you're the competitor that has to have an automobile dealer's license and you're competing against that person who doesn't have to only because they're an auctioneer but they're doing unregulated auctions, that's not very fair to those automobile dealers. So I really don't think he should be using his bond and license to promote his auction, his unregulated auction.
And Conrad, we previously had discussed certain items and standards that, and we reviewed as people had conducted auctions relating to their contracts as well as to how items are advertised and maintained as well, haven't we?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and so to a degree, to the extent that the commission has a concern with that, this doesn't seem like that's much different than any of those type of concerns as well that we've previously taken some action or addressed. I think the main question would be is communicating how we view this so that they will know what they can and cannot provide with along with their advertisements. And I guess the best approach to do that.
Correct. And I want to just to clarify here as well. So the auctioneer that did receive the complaint was against with DOT. That auctioneer did reach out to one of their senators and representatives from their area. Our office has not been contacted by them. That would be Senator Myrdal and Representative Munson. So be up in the north, I believe that's the northeast corner of the state. And about how the auctioneer believes, well, internet auctions should be licensed and regulated. This isn't the first time it came up. If you recall during the session, there was kind of a quick turn of events that were trying to review internet auctions and whether they should be licensed or not. And the exemption for the law was put in actually as a agency bill at the commission's request. I can't remember what year. Shelley might recall that time period, because prior to having that in there, it was quite the process to review whether the internet auction should, you know, whether there should be a license or should not be a license with that. And it came down to the fact that it really boils down to it's really an unregulated item. So I just want to be very upfront about that to let you know, that this probably is, and that's fine. We'll, depending upon the commission's view of this and the direction for staff, if we're going to go with continuous staff's interpretation of it, will probably generate some interest out there, especially when how we might want to communicate it with the regulated entities. But I just wanted to make sure I gave you that back history as well on that.
The two pieces I think would be most helpful to include in any definitions that we use and share with people is in the actual pulling from the actual language of the Century Code, which you've done a couple times just in talking, Conrad, but
sure.
You know, spelling out internet, the North Dakota Century Code defines internet auction as, you know, means or means the selling or offering of the sale, either real or personal, end quote, directly from that number three. And then, quote, also a person conducting or employed by a person conducting an internet auction is not an auctioneer or clerk within the meaning of this chapter. So I think those two pieces are really kind of clarifying for whether you agree with it or not, that's what the law is. And so that's where our conclusions come from. And we have to operate within those bounds. So,
Commissioner Vodorchuk, and just to probably give us a starting point, the first paragraph below the second bullet on the first page of the memo, I think staff was able to work and put into the language that I think you're referring to. And that may give us a starting point for how the commission would like to communicate this.
Except for I don't like quoting the chapters. I like using the language. Like pull the language rather than say under, you know, you can list in parentheses what chapter and, you know, the actual code, but rather than referencing the code, just use the language from the code.
Okay. I think what I have here is I've got the code and then it says defines an internet auction as, and then we have the direct quote of the language there.
Which number?
Below the first page of the memo. It's the first paragraph below the second, below the number two. Starts off with traditionally.
I was looking at the wrong place.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes, sorry about that. That was probably my fault for pointing you in the wrong direction.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah. I like that. I like how you included that. Perfect. Yep, both of those. We're thinking the same, Conrad.
No, we're on the same page. I've learned a lot in the 5 years I've been here. Okay.
I had a question regarding, have you talked to other states at all? How are other states working through this? Anybody else who regulates auctioneers, I should say.
Sure. I have not. I certainly can. At this point, I've not reached out to any other states on their regulation of that, but I can certainly reach out to a few that do as a statewide entity or regulate auctioneers to see how they're handling it.
Maybe just bring that back. Part two, where we talk about, you know, if we want to propose changes or how we want to move forward, it might be helpful to learn from others.
Sure.
Okay, absolutely.
I do know of a number of other states, and which makes sense to a large degree. The auctioneers are regulated at the local level towards the county, township, municipalities. And actually, even in this state, there's some overlap with regulatory authority because you'll find that a number of cities as well regulate auctioneers on top of our auctioneer regulations. So, for example, I think Jamestown was one, Conrad, that we saw in the past where someone was paying a fee to get a permit to do auctions in Jamestown in addition to...
Correct.
And they had standards as well for their... Of how I think maybe even more directed towards how auctions are conducted. But I'm just speaking off the cuff. I can't recall off the top of my head exactly what's written in their ordinances. But again, that's one of those places where there's some regulatory overlap. We had some pretty long discussions about that.
Even knowing how many states don't regulate this at all might be good information to have.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think before the session, I remember doing some research on that. I can pull that up and dust that off and update it as well as we continue the discussion, potentially closer to session, or if we find out a direction for any changes that the commission would like to make on this as we move down the road.
Because I think, isn't this the jurisdiction that is kind of mostly states that are like west of the Mississippi, the kind of late 1800s land rush areas that regulate auctioneers?
Don't know.
I think I found my old Excel spreadsheet here and take a look. a lot of the South and kind of the Western states regulate auctioneers in that sense. And I wouldn't be able, I think when I did my initial research, it was only mostly ones at the state level, but a lot of the Eastern states do not necessarily regulate the auctioneers. But I can certainly look into seeing how, if they do any online stuff as well.
Well, because we're so early in this biennium, I think that's discussions for out in advance a little bit. But
sounds
I
good.
Think it was important to make sure we're in agreement on how to interpret this.
No, I absolutely agree with that. So what staff is understanding from this, from the commissioners, then at this point with the four different auction scenarios we offered within our memo, the commission is in agreement with how staff is viewing those and interpreting those?
I'm in agreement, depending on, you know, then we wait to see if there are any legislative changes. I think it fits well with the current statute.
But are we going to send a letter out to our licensees clarifying how we interpret this?
Are we being asked by them, or?
Well, we're having people operating under different sets of rules.
Sure.
We have the guy in the Northeast who says he can do a certain thing because we should be regulating this. And
yeah.
There is confusion out there, no doubt.
I'm fine with that. I think the letter will have to be very carefully crafted.
Yeah.
Multiple
reviews.
Because you could end up, yeah, making it more confusing.
Okay. So what staff will do then is, if we're understanding this correctly, is we will continue with our interpretation of the four auction scenarios as is written within the memo, and then staff will draft a letter that we will, you know, with the understanding that it'll eventually be sent out to the licensed entities after a thorough and careful review by the commissioners. And staff can work on drafting that and provide the commissioners with the draft of that letter as we work and create any edits that we may need to. Does that sound reasonable?
Sounds good. Brian, don't you think that the portfolio holder should put his name on that letter and his cell phone number for questions?
I thought that was a given.
I like that precedent.
Time to go buy a burner phone.
I'm just picturing the general audience with a gift of gab having your cell phone number.
Actually, I advertise my personal cell phone. Everyone sees it.
Yeah, me too.
Anyone who wants
mine
to look for it.
Every once in a while, one time the most random was a contractor doing something for Dakota Access could not find anybody else but me to call with a question about some pumping thing out in Linton. I was like, some fencing question or whatever. I was like, why are you calling me? You were the only contact number I could find.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, wow, that's frightening.
I think the benefit to posting is I can almost tell everyone in this room, I have won the Irish lottery more than anyone else.
You have what? Won the Irish lottery?
Irish
National Lottery.
Messages, and it's great. Retirement plan.
Oh, funny.
One more question just to make sure. And you wanted us to add something to our website as well for consumers?
I think so. Everyone can go in and look, but it just basically, it's a one-sentence deal, and it just has to be one more below it that. Something that just indicates that internet auctions are not.
PSC does not regulate internet auctions.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Nor does anybody else.
Someone must somewhere.
All right. Anything else for this morning? All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Conrad.
Thank you.
Hope all's well at your house. Take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you, commissioners.
Bye-bye.
We'll be in touch.